Hey everybody, I'm Dave Hecker, and today we're talking about the jack-of-all-trades, one-stop-shop IT company. These are the companies that advertise that they are experts in all sorts of different technologies. They can usually do things like graphic design and UI, copywriting and marketing, and just about everything. And it all sounds very good and convenient for clients, but is it a good idea to take your business to a one-stop shop? Today I'm joined by Natalie Veremeva from Lime Systems in Kyiv, Ukraine, and she's going to share her thoughts on whether or not a one-stop shop is a good idea or a bad idea for clients. Here we go. Okay, welcome everybody. Today I'm here with Natalie Veremeva from Lime Systems in Kyiv, and she's here to share her thoughts on the one-stop shop and specialization for shops and how to choose the right one. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you very much for the introduction, Dave. I'm happy to be in the interview and share my insights and my experience with the people who will be watching it.
So great. It's very nice to meet you.
Okay.
You know, I was reading over the website at Lime Systems, and it looks like you're definitely not the jack-of-all-trades, one-stop shop. I'm seeing a huge focus on banking industry. So
right.
My guess is that your opinion is going to be that you don't really like the one-stop shop and you think it's not a great match for everybody. But let's start off with your high-level thoughts. What do you think about the issue?
Just during my 8 years of career in the IT outsourcing, I experienced different projects and different styles of outsourcing. And I had the experience of working with the companies who just used a totally different philosophy, yes, of being this jack of all trades and trying to get as much projects as they could, no matter which technology is. And now I'm just having really the possibility to just to work in a different surrounding, so to say. And I really think, and I'm just sure that focusing on one technology and having one knowledge pool is just the core advantage, and this is something that helps build trust, helps build better systems, and helps build the solutions, and just being in just good and honest business, so to say. So yes, I'm really just for the specialization and for just narrowing the services offered to some particular industry, vertical, technology, whatever, just where the processes are being built, they are just solid and they are not, so the clients are getting what they actually wanted. But probably first I need to discuss the other side, right? So just how it is just to be like the jack of all trades, so that we can then evaluate these differences between.
And you've worked like that before. Have you been involved in the jack of all trades?
I was involved actually, yes, during my career just in this industry. I really started at a company, it was in 2005. And it was one of the first outsourcing companies here, just in my region. So we really just all the requests that were coming, we said, yes, we can do it. Yes, we can do this. We can do that. We can do everything.
But let me ask you something. You said something earlier that the reason people are jack of all trades is because they need to accept everything, every offer, every business, or at least they think they do. Excuse me.
Well,
and I think when I see a company that says we're experts with .NET and Java, and we do graphic design and UI and testing and everything. And sometimes they say we working 24/7 and all of this. The first thing I think to myself is they're very hungry for work, right? They're a little bit desperate. Why would a company be desperate in, this is one of the hottest years for tech ever. So if a company is working that hard, willing to take any job, then either they are just starting out or they're not very good. That's what I think. I mean, that's a little bit strong, but what do you think about it?
Companies are really hungry for work and they want to develop and grow. And what is happening is at first when the company is just starting and this business just started, we didn't have that exact understanding what it is about, the business objectives of client, what it takes to give the add value of outsourcing, not just to provide people who will do everything. Because really programmers, they are coding on Java, they are coding on .NET, and that's not a problem just to attract the right right people from the labor market. So you just like push in some job offer, get people quick, and here you have a team, you know. But challenge here is that it's not only about having the people, but also about the organizing them right, so that they are really just doing something. They're not just set of people, but they're a team, and they're a team with the right expertise, because different projects require different approaches, different like methodologies. If you just like, it could be agile, it could be waterfall, it could be like different different things. And also some industries really have this big knowledge pool that is required to enter into it. So it's not that easy, for example, to explain a team quickly about banking sphere or about some financial or just, I don't know, some gaming, like betting industry or whatever. So just, it can be so that the clients are really just taking these risks and just spending several months or maybe a year in some complex industries, educating the team, but it takes time, it takes extra investment. And here, when you see that outsourcing is not paying, because you're paying less, but then the team, just it takes time for the team to get up to speed. And that actually is just something that very often for just quite a long time,
be aware that this is a specific process, this is a specific challenge, so people to get ready to get to outsourcing,
maybe to employ some extra people like project managers who will be handling the communication issues, or just like they need to understand what they have inside the company, so that they what they need from the outsourcing. So just it's like any instrument, it can do harm or it can do good. It depends on how you're using it. So
do you see companies from time to time that are, they're doing everything, design and UI and tech, and they're pretty good? I mean, every now and then we see it.
It depends on what the client wants, actually. Sometimes the clients want just some software skills and they are prepared to take all the risk themselves. Or if it is some simple job, for example, doing websites, you don't really need some specialization, so just there could be some different technologies. But if you are speaking about really serious sphere and really just good project, companies that agree and take such complex projects, just being jack of all trades, usually they end up with some disillusioned clients and some, you know, just something just, it doesn't end nice, so to say.
But I agree that for something small, like a website, right, like a WordPress or something, it can be okay to go to a small company that's doing everything. I mean, it's your feeling that for small stuff, sometimes it's okay, and for bigger stuff, you should watch out for the jack of all trades?
I think that, probably. Just it's still, I don't like when companies are focusing on everything, and I think that each company, when they are just developing, they are passing through the stage of maturity. First, they are saying, oh, we're a sourcing company, we're going to get some profit, and they start to do everything. But then they understand that they need to have some unique offer, and then they tend to narrow and to make it like more specific. But this is already like a more mature company. And when you see a company who is offering something and who is saying, yes, we're doing this, but we're not doing this, so they're refusing some projects, but this is like for the sake of quality, you can already tell that that's a good sign, so to say. So you can like have more trust in such a company, I think. And just for Lime Systems, it's just it was like this from the very beginning. It didn't need to lime to narrow the services. But they from the very start, from the very beginning, I think they're already for 22 years they're doing banking software. So they're they're pretty experts in this area.
But I know that you deal with a lot of other companies too. You have a lot of connections in Ukraine, so You must hear this from companies that they're small and they're willing to take everything, and then you tell them you should begin to specialize and start to focus on your best skill, and they're afraid to do it, and they say we can't afford to turn down any work. That's what I hear from companies. So what do you say to the young company that says, okay, I understand that we need to have some focus and some specialty, but right now we just need work, and they're in this trap. How do you advise a company like that?
I'm telling pretty exactly that I told right now, that that's just a better choice. But what I see the tendency among the Ukrainian companies, I don't know, maybe I just like I'm more lucky to face such companies at the moment, but I have companies who are like doing specific PHP development or just some mobile development, or I have a company who just like the recent technologies, this Node.js and MongoDB, so they say we like this technology and though we worked with other ones, we are going to specialize on this one because it's a good one and it's going to be very successful in the future. So they are taking only this technology. Yeah. And I like I like this because I think that that's a good sign because our market like is becoming more mature. And I even have a company who is specializing in Drupal. And I wasn't like thinking that you can build a company around Drupal, but there are around 90 people at the moment.
Yeah,
so they are
huge.
Really like I was just underestimating this technology for quite a long while, but
you know, I've noticed, it's true, I know a lot of companies in Ukraine, and they seem to really understand to specialize. I don't have to talk to them as much about avoiding being the general company as I do companies in India. I don't know why, but for some reason, companies in India, they're very quick to say, we do everything, you know, like the body shop model. We hire people from university. And we'll take any job, and we claim to be the experts in everything. Even a company with 300, 400, 500 people is still not specializing. Why do you think Ukrainians are they're more sophisticated in understanding this the value of the business focus? I mean, is this what you see?
I think that's just maybe the difference of mentality. I don't know why Indian companies are behaving like this, and I was for quite a while frustrated about the bad reputation for outsourcing that Indian companies created, because actually when I had like experience when clients were coming and saying, oh, you know, we just tried outsourcing and that was horrible.
But in a way, it's good for you though, because the mostly the Indian companies, they really they hurt the reputation of offshore development, but mostly they hurt it for themselves, right? I mean, don't you see a lot of clients that have already been through an experience in India? And they really are tired from it, and they come and they say, now I want a more professional arrangement, and they come to Eastern Europe.
Yes, that's right. Here we really can market ourselves. We're just like a bit more expensive location than India, but at the same time, we really can offer this quality and this like understanding. Just our developers are famous for like even arguing with clients about like the best way to do things. If just for startups, it could be critical when they need some. Just not only yes sir, but some ideas. So just this is how our developers, they are famous for it. And also I actually read today that in Ukraine, in fact, it was created the first computer in Soviet Union. So just it was around somewhere around Kiev by Sergei Lebedev in 1951. I didn't know about this before, but like we have like a lot of fundamental science, and it's a fashion to be like a software developer too. So it's just like some kind of new intellectual elite. And yes, we are just a bit sophisticated. That's right.
It's pretty sophisticated. I mean, it is. There is kind of an elite feeling to the software business. I mean, when I'm in Kiev, I visit Kiev a lot. And it has this feeling. It's similar to the way that San Francisco is, in that there's a little bit of excitement. People don't just have a job doing software. There's these young, energetic companies, and they have cool offices, and people are making pretty good salary, and they're feeling pretty good. There's a lot of energy in Kiev. It's not some sleepy town, right?
Yeah, that's right. And even we have like, you know, just have even a fashion for being software developer. Right now, software developers in Ukraine are just getting pretty good salaries. So they are like one of the rare middle class people, so to say. So, and we have even a joke that he's like a perfect like man. So just like women are just dreaming to date some software developers.
Really?
So that, yes.
Wow. So the beautiful Ukrainian girls are going for the software developers?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have to write that down. That never happened in San Francisco.
We even had the websites when the people, just the girls, like trying to find some software developers.
You're just dating IT guys, right? Boy, well, I missed out on that. When I was dating, there was no support for the IT guys. But what about Ukraine in general? All this politics and the news, you know, that's what Americans think of now. When they think of Ukraine, the recent politics have taken over everything. But, you know, I tell them, I hear this almost every day. Is it okay to go to Ukraine? And I'll tell you what I tell people. You tell me if you agree. I mean, it's pretty bad situation in Ukraine. But as far as software business in Kyiv, you don't really feel it at all. I mean, that's you hardly know about it, except that people talk about it. But everything is stable. And over in Kharkiv, where all the younger, you know, developers are, they seem to talk about it even more, but everything is perfectly stable. And after that, I think as you move to the east, things can get troublesome, but there's not so much software over there. And I think it's okay.
Yeah, actually, just, I totally agree with you. I can say that I myself come from the east. So I was there and I was the organizer of the club of the local IT companies. There were around 30. They all moved. So they're just like the idea about just the advantage probably about software development is that it's not a metallurgical plant. You're just the only resource are people and you can just easily relocate them. So all the 30 companies that I know, they just moved to other parts of Ukraine and just without losing and affecting projects or losing clients or losing resources, so all is fine. And as for the rest, Ukraine is actually comparatively huge. It's like well, France, and that was like it's like just like this. It's like wide. So I was calculating then the distance between this trouble from some region in the east and, for example, Lviv, which is like the western part close to Poland and European Union, is almost the same as from Lviv to Copenhagen. So it's just like. Yeah. Several countries, you know, just so you're just not really, really feeling about that something is going on apart from, the economy shaking because we have military costs and everything, but and also the currency is changing. But we have we export services, so that means that we are not really affected by this.
Is it frightening away new clients?
Sorry?
Is it frightening away new clients?
Well, I wouldn't say so. Just the only thing is that bigger companies really needed to apply some extra effort to persuade their big existing clients that it's safe to stay in Ukraine because they are using this risk assessment models. And by risk assessment models, Ukraine is really like not the safest place to be, so to say, because there are some risks. But generally, just it's even like advantages because just some of these big clients really just shortened the volume of software developers, so you really have a lot of software developers just of very good quality on the market, so which actually gives extra advantage. And also like some inner projects also just of some companies that were focusing on some just inner software development, some of them are stopping also because still just the economy is like feeling this because of this military costs. But just it also gives an extra advantage to do some outsourcing. And I don't see personally like significant risks for this.
Yeah, me either. But I hear about it so much. You know, I deal with American clients. So lot of them don't know how large Ukraine is. You know, they think that there's fighting everywhere.
Yeah, it's just the news, you know, just the news channels are not like really just saying that, here is nice and here is like a stable region. They are just interested in some explosions, like bombing, some just action, you know. And that's why just they're showing a tiny piece of Ukraine, but it just like gets the impression that that's the whole country, which is not the case. Yes.
Yeah, we're still sending lots of work there. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not too worried about it. It's kind of sad that everyone has to go through it, but as far as the software industry, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, and the society itself is really feeling this reawakening. We have like this spirit of like really just wanting to do something and to turn our system into something like more democratic. So, just Ukraine is really feeling strong right now. At least I feel it like this.
Really, especially in Kyiv, right?
Yeah, in Kyiv, this is like the revolution, the revolution place,
I felt that when I was in Ukraine. I think there's a lot of energy people seem very excited and energetic to push through these problems and build their economy and sort of grow the country. I don't know what it's like in the very, very far east, but where I go in Ukraine, people are pretty positive about the future. A little unhappy about the present, but they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, but this, like, we're just having this, just we need to keep strong and just to break through and to do things. And yes, we have some strange things like volunteering, for example. So people are dedicating their time, efforts to change the system for free, which is like, just this is just the spirit that we are experiencing at the moment. And this is amazing to watch, yes, and also to be part of it.
The Ukrainians are tough. You know, I think they're tough, and I think that's one of the reasons that they're good, at agile, and they're good at software. You know, like you earlier, you said you don't want to be the sort of like the yes man type that you see in Asia sometimes. It's really a bad match in software. In software, you need some people to speak up, and Eastern Europeans and Ukrainians are good at this, and I think it makes them. You know, they're very quick to, if they see a problem, they'll say something about it, and it makes a big difference. So it's a very mature community in Ukraine. But back to the idea of the jack of all trades. So let's say a company like Lime is focused exclusively on banking. So how focused are you? Like, do you have, is it just software development, or is there also, is there QA? Is there a little bit of design, or what? How much broad scope do you think is okay?
Well, I actually, we have like everything that just since we're also developing products for the local Ukrainian market, so we have everything that takes to make this banking software product. So we have business analysts, project managers, some technicians, QA people for sure, help writers, developers, senior, just junior, like all sorts of developers. And we have the company separated into units. For example, we have like a internet banking unit. We have some just core system banking unit, credit card unit, and others. So just every sphere of banking activities, like cryptographic unit also that is dealing with crypting the information. So we have different scopes, different aspects of just dealing with banking sphere, just in different just dealing in different departments. And yes, I think that we are pretty focused, but at the same time we have everything like that is required for life cycle, just that it takes to do a banking product.
So maybe you're your company is very, very focused on the sector, the space that you service, the banking sector. But as far as the specific technology, you can handle everything that you need to develop for those clients. So, I mean, do you think it's more important for a company to focus on an industry or a sector than a specific technology?
I think it takes both. For example, some industry requires some technology. For example, in banking, you normally are not doing some PHP work or whatever. You need some really reliable technologies that are just nice. And in our case, this is a .NET technology because like it's licensed, it's supported, it's secure. So we are the gold partners of Microsoft, and we are like focusing on this part. So we are just .NET, everything that is connected with ISP.NET, C#, like just, and also just modules. For example, we are making integrations with a number of systems. So we know some Telerik, we know some just Windows Mobile, some just something else. So just like a number of technologies that we're using again with .NET and with banking systems.
So what do we say to a client? I mean, I think we both agree that the specialties are good and the jack of all trades can be bad. But what do you say to the client that comes and they say they have something like $10,000, a small client, and they need to do a small website for their business and they're not really a sophisticated client. And they say, I can't afford the specialty companies. I need everything and I don't really know what I'm doing. What do we say to the small clients? Do they need to go to the one-stop shop? Or even for them, is it kind of bad?
I think they need to find passionate companies. So it's the companies who are not just doing something for money, but the companies who love what they do And maybe they can even just not specialize in everything, but just like on the contrary, specialize in everything. But you are working with teams, so even just with like this wider company, you can find some just team lead, project manager, some just business unit who is really passionate about what they do. You can feel that when speaking with people. So if you see that there are lights in their eyes, and when they're speaking about some specific technology that you are interested in, and that could be a good sign. And just it's more often to find such things in just some companies which already made a specific focus. But even with some wider companies, probably you can find some passionate people inside. But that again needs. Just you need to be like really psychological and look like into the eyes of people because you're working.
Analyze their psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're just working with people. You're not working with machines. So it really needs to be like a person who likes the technology and likes the idea that you are just having your business project.
You know, and then I wrote that down. Find passionate companies. It's a great thing to tell clients because I think that some small clients don't really have a choice. They can't go to these specialty companies that only do graphic design and then another one that only does front end like this.
Yeah.
They can't afford it. And there's also a lot of small companies that are just starting and they can't afford to skip any work. And yeah. It's a great piece of advice for them to tell them, if you have to go to the one-stop shop, fine. But find the company that is passionate enough to make it work because a burnt out software development team is pretty useless, you know. It's great yes. advice. That's going to be, I think, the tweet from this interview. Just find passionate clients. All right, very good. I think that'll be it. We'll wrap it up. Thank you very much for your input and your insight and your thoughts about what's happening on Ukraine. And it was very nice meeting you and chatting with you.
Yes, it was my pleasure. And just hi to all American clients and to everybody. From sunny Ukraine.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.